10 years?
10 years.
Wow,
yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
In this business.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 years is a long time. This is, it's like dog years when you're married here. That's like 50 years, right?
Yeah. No, you know what I found? It's like, just divorce can't be an option, mm-hmm. right? It's really that simple. Mm-hmm. Just, if you just remove the option, mm-hmm. because if you have the option, one day that person is going to make you want a divorce.
Uh-huh.
You absolutely get to the point that you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that keeps you continuing is that there's no other option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's really what I feel has been a huge part of the success for she and I, is we've just removed the other options. And we're like, listen, we're going to be together one way or the other, so we might as well try to be happy.
Yeah. I think that's great.
That's actor Will Smith, one of my favorite actors, by the way, on Ellen DeGeneres' show recently, talking about how it is his marriage has lasted 10 years, which in Hollywood is a long time for celebrities to be married. We're going to be talking about virtue versus ethics. Pastor Charles Lehman will be our guest here in the first 15 minutes. Oh, half hour. We'll give him a half hour of issues, et cetera, since he's so special. We're coming to you live this Friday on Issues, et cetera. It is the 1st of August. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, and we have an in-studio email address. You can email questions or comments, and we get them right here in the studio in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little bit later in the program, right around the bottom of the hour, we're going to be opening a new feature of Issues, etc. We hope it to be a weekly feature. Craig doesn't think much of it for some reason. I don't know why, but Jeff and I think it's a good idea. Issues, etc. Blog of the Week. You might have heard about this on our website. Blog of the Week is essentially this. Jeff and I read a lot of blogs, and when we read them, every week we'll pick out one blog post. Not the whole blog, but one blog post. Each of us will pick one that will be the Issues, etc. Blog of the Week. And we'll talk about it here on the Friday program. We'll also post a link to that blog post at our website under what section, Jeff? On demand, under the on demand section of our website, issuesetc.org. And you'll get a link there if we choose you as blog of the week. But in order to qualify, you have to go to our website, to promotions, issuesetc.org, click promotions, and you will find a widget. You have to be able to post one of those Issues, Etc. widgets at your blog to be qualified to be considered for Issues, Etc. Blog of the Week. We've made our picks in about a half hour. We'll walk through the blog posts that we have found most interesting this week. Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week follows after that. That'll round off the first hour of the program. In the second hour of Issues, Etc., we'll talk about pro-life Democrats. Yes, there are such things. Kristen Day, Executive Director of Democrats for Life based in Washington, D.C., will be our guest, and then the last 45 minutes of the program we'll spend with Dr. Alvin Schmidt of Illinois College, talking about the influence of Christianity on Western civilization. He, of course, is author of many books, but his latest, How Christianity Changed the World. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Charles Lehman is a regular guest on the program. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland, and author of an article titled The Virtue of Will Smith. Pastor Lehman, welcome back.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
A lot has changed since the last time we talked to you. You went from someplace in Colorado out to the East Coast, and I understand you're also now a married man at long last.
Yes, both are true, and both are wonderful. I got married on July 5th, and that was just about a month and a half after I arrived out here in Accident, Maryland.
And how are things in Maryland so far?
They're going great. I'm pastor of a very small congregation in rural Garrett County. They call this neighborhood the Cove because there are mountains surrounding me on all sides, and it's kind of a lower place, and it's very, very green. The people are just good salt-of-the-earth people. And I'm about 2 hours south of Pittsburgh and about 3 hours west of Baltimore.
What's the difference between virtue and ethics? Because I think most people assume that virtue and ethics are essentially the same thing.
Well, until a few months ago, I would have been one of those people. I always thought that virtue was just kind of a fancy way to talk about ethics. And then I started reading a little bit more about ethics, and I found that there really is a huge debate over the relationship between the two. And it's kind of a chicken or the egg sort of thing. Some people would say that a virtue is simply, you know, a virtuous person is a person who knows what all the rules are, and they're good at following them. They're good at making ethical choices. And that's probably the definition that the world runs with most often. But what I've come to believe recently is that really that's backwards, that a virtuous person actually is the sort of person who doesn't have as many choices to make. And so the fact that they are virtuous changes the way that they approach choices, not in that they know what the right choice is, but that there are certain choices that simply can't be made.
Okay, so the example that we heard there at the beginning of the program that you cite in an article that you've written recently, The Virtue of Will Smith, is this actor Will Smith when he was on Ellen DeGeneres, and he was talking about what for Hollywood types is a long time to be married to his wife and the fact that they've stayed together. And he said that divorce, in their case, was simply ruled out as an option. It was not among the options from which they thought they would choose for the rest of their lives. Is this an example here?
I would think that it is. And that's what struck me so strongly when I heard Will Smith say this. It was what it reminded me of is a few years ago, I can't remember who it was that said this, but it was someone, you know, on the social scale equivalent to Will Smith. It was either another movie superstar or a sports celebrity. He said that whenever he was tempted by another woman, he just asked himself the question, is she worth half of everything that I have? And so in his case, he was saying, well, let's say that his net worth was $100 million. The question that he asked was, is it worth $50 million to me to cheat on my wife with this woman? And so he was weighing his options, $50 million or sleeping with this woman. And the implication was that there wasn't a woman who was worth $50 million to him. But the problem there is that he's actually considered the option. He's actually weighing one thing against the other and saying, no, I'm not going to sleep with this other woman because it would cost me $50 million. And that is a good choice not to do it, but it's actually a choice. And I think when we look at what the scriptures say about, if you want to call it ethics, we get a little bit different picture.
It sounds as though, playing off this distinction that you've drawn for us here between mere ethics and virtue, that someone could be ethical acting entirely out of their own self-interest. The sports star who says, look, it's just not worth it monetarily for me to have an affair. I mean, I might want to do it. I might even do it if it wouldn't cost me so much.
I would say that that's exactly right. If we think about that classic Lutheran discussion of the three offices of the law, I think that that's the insight that we gain. The first office of the law, which we usually call the curb, but that's a little bit incomplete, says that people choose to obey or disobey the law based on either fear of punishment, that's why we call it a curb, or because they want to garner some sort of reward. And I think that what we see happening is that in the world, that's the way that all ethical choices are made. It's what's in it for me? Is it going to send me to prison? Is it going to cost me $50 million? Is it going to make me have a fight with my wife tonight? Or is it going to make people feel well or think well of me? Is it going to help my reputation? Is it going to give me financial gain? You know, these are the things that guide the world's choices when they are considering, you know, different actions that they might take. The third office of the law, which we normally call a rule, is one that only has any meaning for Christians, because only a Christian can actually, from in their heart, want to obey the law, and therefore be instructed in what that is. And so, I would say that in the first office, you find what the world usually calls ethics. In the third use, which only exists for one who is a new creation in Christ through their baptism, through the faith that God has created in them, only in that Christian can there be virtue, where a Christian will simply not even consider those other options. That is, as a Christian, they won't. The Formula Concord has this wonderful statement where it says...
Hey, can you hold that thought? Hold that thought for a second, because I want you to get the entire quote in there before we have to take a break, and I want to hear the whole thing. We'll do so right after this. Pastor Charles Lehman is our guest. We're talking about the difference between virtue and ethics. We'll hear from the Lutheran Confessions on that subject and on good works after this.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Christopher Brown, Sharon Peterson, David McKinn, Anna Heimbigner, Elaine Weiss, Pastor James Shaw, Pastor David Mummy, Linda Hanusa, Pastor Gary Klatt, and Aaron Hamden. Thanks for your support.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. If stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts, perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does Planned Parenthood have to hide?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In recent years, the number of abortions performed by Planned Parenthood in the United States has risen almost 30%. But could this powerful, well-funded organization be running scared? Apparently so. The last few months witnessed two separate occasions where Planned Parenthood willingly deceived citizens about abortion clinics being built in their area to avoid likely protests by the community. If, as the organization claims, a substantial majority of Americans favor abortion on demand, why all the secrecy? It seems that in reality, Planned Parenthood does not even buy its own rhetoric.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Charles Lehman is our guest, and we're talking about the difference between virtue and mere ethics. Kurt Brinkmeyer was very kind to us. I think it was either early this week or late last week. He brought over a box of Issues Etc. bumper/window stickers. I mean, you've seen the typical bumper sticker. This has the Issues Etc. logo on it, and then I think it also has our website address. And, no, it's on the outside of the door, Jeff. I can't see through doors, but I have one on the outside of the studio door. Come here and open the door and let me gaze upon its beauty. Oh, there we go. He's got one. It says Issues Etc. has our logo at the top, and then it has our website address, www.issuesetc.org, and then the radio station where we're heard locally in St. Louis, 1320 AM Bot Radio Network. And if you want one, by the way, all you got to do is just write us, and we'd be happy to send you one or a few. Make your request to Lutheran Public Radio. That's LPR 1600 Gulf View Drive, 1600 Gulf View Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, 62234, and send a self-addressed stamp envelope because Jeff is too lazy to stamp them himself, and we're too cheap to pay for them. And we'll send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. How long did we have to wait to give bumper stickers, Jeff? We had to actually have to wait, and because we talked about it for years and years and years. If we would only have known that they came free, falling out of the sky. Thanks very much to Kurt Brinkmeyer. Pastor Charles Lehman is our guest. We're talking about virtue versus ethics. He's author of an article titled The Virtue of Will Smith, and he's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland. Okay, you were going to quote something from the Formula of Concord from the Lutheran Confessions regarding the nature of good works and how the law plays into that on this subject of virtue and ethics.
Yes, this is from the Formula of Concord. And the thing to keep in mind here is the confessors are talking about this classical distinction between the new man, the new Adam, and the old Adam. The new man is given us in our baptism through faith in Christ, where Christ's righteousness that he won for us on the cross is given to us as a free gift. And as the new man, we're incapable of sin, and we can be instructed in all of these wonderful things that please God. But in this life, the old man sticks to us in our flesh, and it can only respond to that first office of the law, to rewards and punishments. And that's what this quotation's talking about. The confessors write, "Christians are not under the law, but under grace. For by faith in Christ, the persons are freed from the law's curse and condemnation. Their good works, although they are still imperfect and impure, are acceptable to God through Christ. Because insofar as they have been born anew according to the inner man, they do what is pleasing to God. They act not by coercion of the law, but by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, voluntarily and spontaneously from their hearts. However, they still have a constant struggle against the old Adam. The old Adam, like an unruly, stubborn ass, is still part of them. It must be forced to obey Christ. It not only requires the teaching, admonition, force, and threatening of the law, but it also often needs the club of punishments and troubles. This goes on until the body of sin is entirely put off and a person is perfectly renewed in the resurrection. Then he will need neither the preaching of the law nor its threats and punishments, just as he will no longer need the gospel. These belong to this imperfect life."
So what in a nutshell is that saying?
It's saying that for the Christian, we have this inner man within us who wants only to do that which is pleasing to God. This is where the analogy with Will Smith comes to play. Will Smith does not desire divorce. It's simply not even a thought that is going to come to his mind. He desires to remain faithful to his wife and to work out any difficulty they might have and to live with her in marriage for their entire life. So there is no option of divorce that comes to his mind. Just as for the Christian, the only option is to do those things that are pleasing to God. The reason why the Christian life doesn't look, you know, perfect and sunny like that, however, is that we are still in the flesh, and that old Adam still clings to us and still tempts us with all of those things that aren't pleasing to God. And the only thing that can bring the old Adam into line is this rewards and punishment stuff that I talked about before. And that's where, you know, where the world's understanding of ethics really informs us, because that's the way that the world works. You look at what's in it for you, and you make your choices based on what you think is going to be the best result for you. rather than for your neighbor.
We had a conversation sometime back with Dr. David Adams, and we were talking about divorce. And he said something that struck me, and it still stays with me, because I guess I hadn't heard it before, and I never considered it this way before. He was talking about marriage, and he was talking about how marriage, the reason, I asked him, why do many Christians divorce at the same rate as non-Christians? And he said there's no theology of the cross in those marriages. In other words, they expect marriage to, if they work hard enough at it, to kind of bear this fruit that will keep them happy and satisfied, and that things are going to, if they're bad now, they'll get better. And he says, a crossless marriage will always end in divorce, but a marriage that lives under the cross, that is, where it is the virtue that does not consider the options, but lives with marriage such as it is, that is a marriage that lasts.
I think that's one thing that probably impressed people about Will Smith's remarks and why it got such great press, is that he was saying, yeah, I'm not saying that my marriage to Jada is perfect. You know, we've had our struggles, but we just decided that there is no option of divorce. He's not living in a fairy tale world where marriage has to be perfect. I don't know anything about Will Smith's religious background or whether or not he's a Christian. But he certainly seems to understand the way that the reality of marriage, you know, can be.
Aren't we really talking about Christian freedom here? That the true definition of Christian freedom is not that I am free to do whatever I please, but that the Christian now is pleased to do things and, as you say, according to the new man, does not desire to do those things that God forbids.
I think that's exactly it. It goes back to the way Jesus describes good trees and bad trees. A good tree can only bear good fruit, and why would it want to do anything else? And so the virtuous person in Scripture is that good tree, that tree that has been renewed by the Holy Spirit through the waters of holy baptism, and now desires in perfect freedom to do only those things which God would delight in. And, the Christian freedom is often used as an excuse to do whatever we want. But true Christian freedom desires to only do what God wants. And that is the virtue that I wrote about.
You earlier quoted the Formula of Concord, and the Formula of Concord goes on to say, and this picks up on something you said very early in our conversation, that if it is being done out of a fear of punishment or a desire for reward, it is not, in God's eyes, a good work. Your thoughts there as we close our conversation?
Sadly, any Christian who is aware of their own sin will hear that and say, well, then I never do any good work.
That's what I say.
And so the only hope for us then is Christ, who has done it all perfectly. And even when we, in our sinfully motivated way, act out of fear of punishment or seeking a reward, we know that God forgives us that sinful desire and sees it as if we had done it only because we desired to serve our neighbor and do all of those things that are pleasing to God. And so it always has to end and should end in the fact that our only hope is in Christ and the cross, and it is his virtue that the Father sees, and it is only what God works in us that can ever be called good, because anything that we're doing is always going to be tainted by our sinful lusts and desires.
Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland, author of an article titled The Virtue of Will Smith. We will post a link to this article on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor, thanks for being our guest.
It's a joy as always.
When we come back from this break, we're going to announce the Issues Etc. blogs of this week. Jeff has one. I have one. We'll go through those blog posts a little bit, and again, we'll tell you how you can be eligible to be and Issues Etc. Blog of the Week, and then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites. That means we're going to play them for you. You get to listen. You get to decide, for whatever reason you want, which you think should be the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and then you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Friday. It's the 1st of August, and I'm Todd Wilkin. Oh, my goodness. This whole idea of good works. You know, the old question was, do you have anything to confess? When a Christian goes to confess his sins, he asks the question, do I have anything I don't need to confess? Even our good works and our sins, for Christ forgives all of it. We'll be right back.
New technology, old theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.